So we started this series that we are in on Easter weekend, and it's called Alive and Free. And the idea behind this series is that just as Jesus told Lazarus to come out of the tomb, he also said to get out of his grave clothes as well. So Jesus doesn't just want us to experience salvation where we are no longer dead to our sins. But Jesus wants us to experience liberation, where we are no longer bound by the thoughts and habits of that old life that want to cling to us. And the awesome thing is that the Holy Spirit has been working on some hearts. We have had two baptisms in the 2 weeks of this series, and I have received some private messages from a few of you sharing your own stories of bondage and your own hope for liberation. You see, many of us are thankful for our salvation, but it is high time that we get truthful about our own bondage. Because even though I am alive in Christ, I am not as free as I think Jesus wants me to be. We have to understand that since Jesus is the resurrection and the life, not will be, but is right now, we do not have to wait in tombs for his return before we finally get liberated. We can start to be free today. But we're going to have to change our minds about the possibility of real freedom. And that means that our minds are going to have to change because, write this down, Freedom's Fight is launched from headquarters. That's why we must all beware of the mind field. Last week I said that the wrong place to start in the quest for freedom is by addressing enslaving behaviors. Here is the reality. People behave like they behave because they believe what they believe, whether they recognize it or not. No one wakes up and says, you know, today I want to start down the path to bondage. I want to wind up in a place where I'm addicted to pills. I want to wind up addicted to pornography. I want to become an alcoholic. I want to wind up in a place where I am not in control of my temper. I want to become a pathetic people pleaser. I want to live in fear. Fear that I'm losing my health. Fear that I'm losing my savings. Fear that I'm losing my soul. Nobody wants to end up there. But we get there because we don't understand that the power of the chain is not in the what. It is in the why. Let me illustrate. In the 1980s, the latter part of the 80s, the National Park Service began to notice there was some erosion occurring on the magnificent Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. because every day the National Park Service was having to use soap and water to get the droppings of the sparrows and the starlings off the memorial. But why were the birds there? Because there were a lot of little spiders on the wall that they wanted to eat. But why were the spiders there? Because there's this little insect called the midge. It breeds in the muddy flats of the Potomac River right behind the memorial. And at night, these little insects are attracted to the bright lights on the memorial, and they fly into the limestone walls, and they leave their protein remains that attract the spiders, that attract the birds, that left the droppings, that brought the park service, that brought the soap and water, that caused the erosion. Do you understand? You had to ask why four times to find out what the problem is. So do we. Because behind all bondage is a lie that is usually hard to see. And behind all lies is a liar who is definitely very hard to see. And as Christians, we do not believe that evil is just random. We believe in a personal malevolent spiritual being that is behind all of the evil in this world. The Bible refers to him as Satan. I've spoken about this many times. In fact, the last time I preached on Satan, a sweet old lady came up to me and said, "I never saw the devil so clearly as to when you were up there preaching about him." That was supposed to be really funny. It was in my mind. Satan travels at the speed of thought. You see, his primary strategy has always been deception. He likes to sow suggestions in your mind that call into question the character and the calling of God. Go to the very opening pages of the Bible. How did this whole thing with evil in our world begin? He shows up and he says, "Did God really say? Why do you think God is against that? What do you think God doesn't want you to have? Do you think that it would really happen as God says?" And his strategy has not changed. That's why the Apostle Paul would say to the Corinthians in his second letter, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Your minds may be somehow led astray. The mind is the line of scrimmage. It is the primary battlefield where Satan operates. So has it ever crossed your mind that not every thought that crosses your mind originated with you? Satan loves to plant lies in the mind field, usually in disguise. And if you don't capture those lies will capture you. So Paul said to the exact same church in the chapter right before where we just read, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." So, do you want to abolish the slavery that is in your life? To abolish slavery, you must demolish the stronghold behind it. You cannot address the what until you expose the why. A stronghold is an entrenched pattern of thought that has taken root and it has been built up in your mind. You may not even be aware of it, but it is now holding strong your thinking. It is contrary to the truth of God, and it is giving the enemy a secure place to have access and even authority in your life in ways that you don't even understand. We have all looked back on our life and realized that there was a time when we were held strong by some things that we were thinking. And now we can look back and realize those things were not true. This is why it's difficult to develop a moral compass in young people. If building in their mind since they were little is this idea that they are just evolved pond scum, that there's no real purpose and meaning to life, we are all just cosmic accidents. If that stronghold is in their mind, then why shouldn't strong people overcome the weak? How do you develop a moral compass with a thought system like that controlling a mind? If you believe, and you may not think this cognitively, but the stronghold is that what you have communicates who you are, then you're going to be in bondage to greed. you will end up in bondage to workaholism, and you're probably already in bondage to debt. Because people behave like they behave because they believe what they believe. I knew a young woman who had a good marriage to a great guy. She had some wonderful children, but she was deeply unhappy. This woman did not come to our church, but she actually reached out to me because she had heard me on the radio back in the day when I was on the radio. She didn't know why she was feeling the way that she did. And I listed to her all of the wonderful blessings that she had. And I told her to focus on those things, to count her blessings. And that's fine. But it focused on the what. But if I had simply dug a little bit deeper, I would have been able to ascertain that she grew up in a home where she was told by her father she was an accident. She wasn't expected. And he really wished that she would have been a boy. So she grew up having this tape play in her mind every day in her home. I'm not wanted. I'm not worthy. And so you begin to understand why she had trouble receiving love from her own husband. You understand why she just was driven by perfectionism. Her home had to be perfect. Her kids had to be perfect. Because without realizing it, she was behaving in ways that said, somebody, please give me some worth. And you do not overcome that kind of bondage by behavior manipulation or secular psychobabble. Only divine truth can set you free from that. That's why when Jesus was talking about that boy that was off in the far country, he used that phrase, he came to his senses. He had a breakout when he finally had a breakthrough. And I've said this multiple times now. You don't get free and come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and you finally find freedom. Because when you come to Jesus, you begin to start coming to your senses. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. That's the old grave clothes, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So here's the good news. Write this down. A stronghold can be removed because the mind can be renewed. You don't repair a stronghold. You get rid of it. You don't tolerate it. You eradicate it. Look at this picture. Many sports journalists believe that this is one of the most important pictures of the last century in the world of sports. It was that day in 1954 when Roger Bannister, a young medical student in England, did what everyone had said could not be done. He ran a sub-4-minute mile. Do you know the barrier was never in the legs? Was always in the mind. Everyone just assumed it couldn't be done. But here's what a lot of people don't know. Within 10 years of that race, 336 other men ran a mile in under 4 minutes. Once that stronghold of thought came down, freedom began to be experienced by many. And that's how it works. You see, you must change your mind about changing your mind. And this renewal of the mind is not something you do by grit. It is the gift of the grace of God. It is not something you do for God. It is something that God does for you. That's why the next verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we are saved is He begins to expose lies in our lives that we have been living. He identifies and He helps us crucify those old carnal thought systems. I think a prayer that you seriously should begin to pray regularly is, Lord, may your Spirit reveal to me anything I have been thinking that I may not even be aware of that is out of line with your truth, with your character, with your heart. And then what happens is that God begins to reprogram your mind. He gives us new software to run. Because remember, freedom's first step is claiming your true identity. You are no longer, as we sang, a slave to fear. You are a child of God. And as a son or daughter of God, you are being recreated into the image of Jesus. Now I want you to think about what I just said. Because God is doing a work in you, changing who you are from the inside out into who you are meant to be. So what that means is we are not just believing in Jesus, we are learning to believe like Jesus. We are learning to have thoughts that Jesus would have. The Bible calls this having the mind of Christ. Remember years back when people would wear those bracelets that had WWJD on it, what would Jesus do? And I like those. Those are great. But another one, WWJT, what would Jesus think? And I'm telling you, it is really possible for you and me to start thinking more like Jesus thinks. Because truth is more than just assenting to a correct doctrine. Walking in truth means I start seeing reality the way that God sees it. And if you see reality the way that the devil sees it, whether you know it or not, you have given Satan access and authority in your life. But when you walk in reality the way that God sees it, when you start learning to think like Jesus, that truth sets you free. And you will not live more free than you think. So what you and I need to do is become a free thinker. Now, you cannot renew your mind on your own. And the Holy Spirit will not renew your mind without your cooperation. You must decide if you want to go through the hard, sometimes painful process of having your old thoughts exposed and uprooted. Because when you came to Christ, when you confessed His name, when you were baptized and you come up out of that water and you start living a new life in the power of the Spirit, here is the reality. Your old software is still in your memory bank. It's still there. And you have to decide which software is going to run your mind today. Do you really want to change your mind? The Apostle Paul said, as Heather read, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Notice the verse says to be transformed. You do not do this on your own. It happens to you. God transforms you by changing the way that you think. God can reset, but you have to let Him. Back in 2015, there was a young man who played in the NFL, Chris Moreland. He is retired. Now, the reason that he retired was strange because he only played 1 year in the NFL. And he was good. In fact, many said that he was one of the very best defensive rookies in the league, and he was a couple years away from signing a multi-million dollar contract. But Chris retired. And he stated after his first year, Because of some injuries in my past and because of research that I have done on concussions, I am going to quit football and take care of my head. Well, good for him. It is great wisdom to do what you have to do to protect your head, because the fight for freedom is launched from headquarters. So how can we learn to allow God to do this? How can we cooperate with God in renewing our minds? Couple of things. First, write this down. We can think about what we think about. Now you're thinking, I can't help what I think about. Actually, the Bible says you can. The Bible says you need to own responsibility for your thoughts. In fact, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, we live in a day where most of our life is behind passwords, right? We have passwords for our phones. I think some of you are mean for doing that. We have passwords for our computers. We have passwords for our garage doors. We even have passwords for all of our finances. And if we're honest, a lot of times our passwords are lazy. 123456 is a very popular password. And it's not very good. Or the word password. That's not a good password. So if you're using that, change it. But isn't it true that the more that you value something, the more you think about how to keep it secure? So how intentionally do you mind what goes into your mind? The Bible says, guard your mind. But for most of us, it's not like we want to be wicked. We're just lazy. And it's always easier to do the easy thing instead of the best thing. So we come home, we just turn on the TV and we sit down. Or we get in the car and we listen to the radio. And we hardly give any attention to what we are putting into our minds. Listen. It is hard to renew the mind that is constantly being reloaded with the propaganda of the wisdom of this world. That's one of the reasons that you need to be in the Word of God every single day. The Bible is a great virus detector. The more that you store God's word into your heart, it will alert you to thoughts that are not in alignment with God's will or his word or his truth. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. You know, you don't have to be a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years to get strong. You can become strong early in your walk with Jesus. And you do that by having God's Word living in your heart. You know how sometimes we say this in anger? Think for a change. Let's change how we say that. Think for a change. Let's think about what we think about and guard our minds. Second thing I believe we need to do is to let the cross cross your mind. Since the garden, the enemy has attacked the character of God. And every time you hurt, every single time you suffer, Every time something goes wrong, every time a hard question comes up, Satan is right there in your ear to whisper, "What kind of God would allow this to happen?" And no amount of knowledge in your head is going to help if you do not have a fresh revelation of God's love in your heart. And so the Spirit of Christ is constantly pointing us to the cross of Christ, saying, "Your Father loves you this much." The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Focus on grace. Focus on the assurance of your salvation. Focus on the liberation that is coming, the victory that is guaranteed. Focus on a God that adores you. "I am tired of being captive to destructive thoughts and habits." And I know you are too. Let's let God recapture our hearts. He loves you right where you are, but He loves you way too much to let you stay there. He wants you to be alive and free. So there's this card in your bulletin. Take that out. And it's blank for a reason. There's a bunch of clothes up here that you'll notice that I have not referenced at all. And they are meant to represent old grave clothes. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And what I am wanting you to do is I want you to write on that card the bondage that you know you are dealing with, that you're tired of struggling with. And we're going to sing a song, and while we sing the song, what I'm asking of you is to get up, come to the front over here, and just place your card on this pile of grave clothes, literally as a symbol of saying, "I'm leaving it here. I'm not going to take these old grave clothes with me. They're staying here." And I'm asking you in a step of faith to just come forward, take this card, and lay it on these old grave clothes. It's the first step, not the only step, but it's the first step in freedom to identify bondage. And then you can begin the hard work of finding the why behind what is driving the what. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to have the courage to let the Spirit reveal a part in your life where the freedom of Christ that has been purchased for you is not fully being lived out in your life. So stand up. I want to pray over you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will send a revival of freedom to our church. I know many yearn for the life you want them to have. But even now, in this room, the enemy is whispering in people's ears, "Well, what would somebody think if I walked up there with a card? I don't really have any struggles. There's no way I could ever change. I've been dealing with this my whole life." But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak against that lie. We know that he who could not be held by a grave is not intimidated by any chain that holds us down. So God, right now, give us the courage to take a step in the direction of freedom for Jesus' sake. Amen.